Hi, this is Jim Paoletti, Director of Education and Clinical Consultant for Power to Practice. I'd like to spend just a few minutes this morning chatting to you about premenstrual syndrome. PMS is a monthly affliction that involves a variety of physical, mental, and behavioral symptoms that are experienced during the luteal phase of the menstrual cycle in premenopausal women of all ages. Symptoms of PMS can vary dramatically in type and severity from woman to woman, and even for the same woman throughout her cycle. Over 140 symptoms have been identified as part of PMS, with some of the more common symptoms being the physical symptoms of bloating, periodic weight gain, breast tenderness, headaches, cramping, fatigue, aches and pains, dizziness, nausea, vomiting, along with the cognitive and emotional symptoms, lack of focus and concentration, memory lapse, foggy thinking, irritability, mood swings, angry outbursts, tearfulness, depression, anxiety, anger, decreased libido, increased food cravings, acne, heart palpitations, changes in vision. Due to the variety of symptoms, an accurate diagnosis of PMS is based primarily on the cyclic nature and timing of symptoms relative to menstruation. Although it can occur any time prior to menopause, PMS is seen most often in teenagers and perimenopausal women. Treatment strategies are the same for both groups, but a functional approach to PMS may have some differences. PMS during menopause is commonly caused by a natural imbalance in estrogen and progesterone due to the normal physiological decline in production of progesterone. In younger women, possible causes of any estrogen dominance as well as inflammation need to be addressed. The two most common issues seen with PMS are estrogen dominance and inflammation. Inflammation should be addressed with an anti-inflammatory diet, which includes reduction of alcohol, regular moderate exercise, fish oil or another good source of omega-3 fatty acids, and natural anti-inflammatory agents such as MSM, bioflavonoids, herbs such as turmeric, curcumin, boswellia, and ginger could all be used. Magnesium can be used to help with some of the cramping and muscle issues in these women. Low blood sugar and caffeine have both been listed as factors with PMS, and they should be avoided. Estrogen dominance in these women can be caused by an increase in estrogen levels and or a decrease in progesterone levels. During perimenopause, progesterone levels decline with anovulation, and estrogen levels are fluctuating widely, and most commonly are slightly higher than they were before perimenopause. So the woman becomes estrogen dominant. Progesterone supplementation can significantly address the symptoms of PMS in a perimenopausal woman. If a younger woman is experiencing PMS, progesterone levels can also be deficient. Since lower progesterone levels in these women is not a normal physiological occurrence, then the reason for low progesterone levels need to be addressed. Sometimes it can be decreased blood flow to the ovaries as a result of surgery, tubal ligation, or hysterectomy, that then lowers the production of progesterone. Quite often what I see is the LH-FSH imbalance is caused by developing insulin resistance, which can then interfere with regular ovulation and decreases progesterone production. So the real cause is developing insulin resistance. Progesterone supplementation can be beneficial in helping to manage the symptoms of PMS, but the underlying issues of poor dietary and exercise lifestyle choices causing the development of insulin resistance need to be addressed. Estrogen dominance in younger patients with PMS may be caused by a higher than normal level of estrogen, whether the progesterone level is normal or low. Excessive endogenous estrogen can have a genetic cause, but this is rare and usually occurs continuously from early puberty. Other causes of high endogenous estrogen levels include exposure to xenobiotics, xenoestrogens, and estrogen-like substances in the environment, the use of phytoestrogens, deficiency in the proper metabolism elimination by the liver, deconjugation of the conjugated estrogens in the intestines leading to reabsorption of the estrogens. So we'll go over all four of these slightly. The list of possible xenoestrogens is extensive. Common ones include bisphenol A from plastics and food can liners, PCBs and dioxin from tap water and industrial products, emulsifiers and parabens and soaps and cosmetics, sunscreen agents, solvents and fingernail polish and polish removers, phthalates from plastics when they become hot, pesticides, flame retardants, The food preserver, the BHA, some red dyes, pesticides. So guidelines to avoid xenoestrogen and endocrine disruptor exposure. One, use chemical-free biodegradable cleaning products. Decrease or stop all conventional pesticides, lawn and garden chemicals, etc., and all conventional lawn treatment services. Reduce the use of plastics as much as possible. Do not microwave food in plastic containers. Avoid using plastic to store food. Avoid water bottled in plastic, as there's no way to know if exposure to heat was avoided during shipping and storage. Instead, use water purified at home. Use chemical-free cosmetic soaps and toothpaste. Minimum use of nail polish and removers. There are numerous websites available with information on chemical-free products to help reduce exposure to xenoestrogens. Consume organic foods and hormone-free meat and dairy products. Avoid the fat of non-organic meat and dairy. Use chlorine-free and unbleached paper products, including tampons, toilet paper, paper towels, and coffee filters. Paper products should contain no chlorine, fragrance, wax, surfactants, or rayon. Install chlorine filters on your shower heads. Wear protective gloves and clothing when in contact with any glue, solvents, cleaning solutions, etc. Minimize exposure to fumes from carpets, particle board, fake wood products, and electronics like printers and copy machines. Avoid the artificial sweetener sucralose. Avoid artificial food colors, especially red dyes. Phytoestrogens. Phytoestrogens are estrogenic substances found in plants. Foods that contain phytoestrogens include soybeans, whole grain, seeds, especially flax seeds, nuts, especially walnuts, and many herbs. While phytoestrogens have demonstrated numerous benefits in helping to manage the symptoms of hormone imbalances, an excess of phytoestrogens can add to estrogen dominance. As far as elimination, the major pathway of normal elimination of estrogens from the body is conjugation by the liver. Any female who has explained higher than normal levels of estrogen should consider at least a 7 to 10 day liver detox program to enhance proper liver metabolism. Conjugated estrogens in the intestine can become deconjugated and reabsorbed into the circulation, creating increased systemic levels of estrogen. This occurs with disruption of the intestinal flora and a decrease in Bifidium bacteria. This results in higher levels of the enzyme beta-glucuronidase, which cleaves the conjugated estrogens. D-glucurate is a beta-glucuronidase inhibitor found in all fruits and vegetables, with the highest concentrations found in apples, grapefruit, and broccoli. It can also be supplemented with calcium D-glucurate. While supplementing D-glucurate is optional, it is most important to restore the intestinal flora with the use of a good probiotic for at least 1 or 2 months. In addition to the anti-inflammatory and other supplements already mentioned, some additional supplements can be useful for helping with the symptoms of PMS include milk thistle, which enhances detoxification by the liver of hormones, drugs, and toxins, so therefore can help with the proper estrogen balance in the cells of the body. Recommended dosage of that is 50 to 100 milligrams per day. Ensure that your milk thistle contains at least 80% silymaran, the active ingredient. Sulforaphane has been shown to stimulate the body's production of detoxification enzymes also, and these enzymes help eliminate the toxic estrogens and balance the estrogens in the body, and the recommended dosage is 200 to 400 micrograms per day. That was sulforaphane. Also Vitex, chaste tree berry, also called the progesterone-enhancing herb, which actually contains no hormones, has no direct hormone activity, and is not phytoestrogenic. Its main active ingredients work on the pituitary gland to stimulate the production of luteinizing hormone, which in turn increases progesterone and helps regulate the menstrual cycle. It's recommended for irregular heavy periods, cramps, polycystic ovary, PMS, breast tenderness, bloating, depression, mood swings, reduction of ovarian cysts, acne-related hormone imbalance, infertility, endometriosis, and many other female-related symptoms. The recommended dosage for Vitex is 2 to 4 capsules per day with food. Using primrose oil and borage oil and black currant seed oil, all contain omega-6 fatty acid gamma-linolenic acid and are classified as good omega-6 oils. They all have been shown in clinical studies to be breast cancer protective. GLA is known to ease cramps and breast pain and reduce PMS, depression, and bloating. The recommended dosage there is 4,000 milligrams of borage oil or 8,000 milligrams of Asian peppermint oil, or 1,000 milligrams of black currant seed oil every day with food. And lastly, black cohosh. This is used to treat various hormonal symptoms in women, including PMS, at 40 milligrams once or twice daily. I hope you found this information helpful. Thank you.